You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast. It's a busy day of racing on Thursday, as you'd expect. No fewer than six meetings to come on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Gary Capewell, Chris Pimlott and Andrew Mount in the studio. We're at Perth, Beverley and Warwick in the afternoon with Exeter, Market Raisin and Tipperary in the evening. Plenty to get stuck into. And the man joining myself, Sam Rose, to look ahead to four contests on Thursday is the aforementioned Mr. Mount. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good. How are you, Sam?
Yeah, not too bad at all, thank you. Are you you fully immersed in the flat season now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, love it. I'd just like to see some quicker going in bigger fields. So the draw by stats will kick in.
Yeah, it's been slightly unsatisfying watching flat horses kind of try and slot through the mud and cut through the mud.
Absolutely, particularly that first meeting at Redcar on Easter Monday. That was desperate. Big fan of Irish turf racing on the flats, and but they don't have enough sprints because there's some great draw biases over there at the likes of Tipperary, but you just don't get many flat races there.
Have you ever been?
I haven't. I hear it's a long way.
It's a long way to go. Yeah, I've been to Tipperary, quite an obscure racetrack to have ticked off, but I didn't go for the purpose of going racing at Tipperary. I just happened to be there and took in a meeting. But of course, we've got plenty of exciting jumps action to come. We've got Sandown and Punchestown to come. We'll touch on those in a short while, Andrew. But first of all, I wanted to get your thoughts on the William Hill traders who've been taking evasive action on Wednesday morning. Aidan O'Brien, to walk away with all five classics this season, has been cut from 33-1 into 20-1. Certainly has a strong hand, you would think, in the 2000 Guineas, in the shape of Air Force Blue. He runs another Derby hopeful today in the shape of Claudio Monteverdi. He's got US Army Ranger for that. Minding could go 1000 Guineas or Oaks. Looks to have a strong hand on paper, but all five classics.
It's one of those prices you look at now, you think that's a bit skinny, and then after the first weekend in May when he's won both Guineas, you'll think, actually, I wish I'd had a few quid on that. It's a bit like the Willie Mullins, first day full-timer just before Andy Power fell, you know. So the morning of the racing, I was thinking 14-1, that skinny, and then next thing, I was wishing I'd joined in.
Yeah, indeed. In terms of his candidates, Air Force Blue in particular, Andrew, has long since been favourite for the Guineas, cut now into 8-11. And I've said this to quite a few people on the podcast, the fact that it's likely to be his only representative in the race, in a race where Aidan O'Brien normally has three or four stabs at it, is it almost a tip in itself that he's relying solely on Air Force Blue?
I think so. I mean, the only straw you can clutch at if you're a bookmaker, I think, is the sort of the size of the field, and that his wins have come in fields of 11 or less. And the one time he had a very big field, he was second of 17 at Ascot. But there's limited evidence to say he can't handle traffic, and of course it's new market, wide open spaces, and they'll probably split into two or three groups anyway. So he'll end up racing in what is effectively a small field. So looks pretty bomb-proof at the moment.
Minding as well has been particularly impressive recently, and that's towards the four of the betting for both the 1000 Guineas and the Oaks. Could we see a double?
It wouldn't be impossible. I've not got a particularly strong opinion about this one's stamina, but maybe we'll see her staying on well to get second or third in the Guineas, and then step up and trip after that.
Yeah, because it was a pretty messy Oaks last year, wasn't it? One again by an Aidan O'Brien horse, but certainly not the one we would have all expected winning the Oaks. It got to qualify last year.
Yeah, well, she blew my draw stats away for that, because it is very hard to win from stalls one or two at Epsom over the Derby course and distance, particularly in big fields. And the first two were drawn 2-1 that day, and 50-1 beating stablemate. Beating fellow Irish Red Legatissimo by a short head, and costing a few punters a few quid, I think.
Yeah, certainly did. We've still got plenty of good action to come over the obstacles, though, Andrew. The jump season not quite done with yet. And the end of season finale at Sandown looks set to be an absolute belter. We've got the added adage of the trainer's title, of course, seeing Willie Mullins and Paul Nicholls go toe-to-toe has been really exciting. We're seeing Willie Mullins have runners at Perth. He's got one entered in a novice hurdle at Taunton. He's going to Warwick. A lot of people aren't a fan of the Mullins hot pots at Cheltenham, but it's adding to Perth. It's almost rising it up, having these Willie Mullins horses come over.
Yeah, definitely. Although the next time someone says to you, horses aren't machines, it seems they are when there's a few quid at stake at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And was it Pipe and Nicholls went down to the wire a few years ago, and I think one of the Pipe horses might have been Standing Obligation from memory, was running every other day, it seemed, in an attempt to get a few quid in the coffers.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got the Celebration Chase, which looks set to be a real belt. This is front page of the Racing Post. Of course, this race was reopened, so we weren't sure on the runners until this morning. But if Duvan, Underso and Sprinter Sacra all line up, I mean, Vitor's got an entry in the race as well, we could be in for an absolutely belting finish.
I was going to say, it could be better than most Cheltenham races, yeah. This one. It's insanely high-quality entry for this time of year. You feel sorry for those who've sort of been targeting this race all season because they like good ground and right-handed tracks or something like that, and weren't expecting for it to be so competitive. But yeah, certainly adds to the spectacle.
Yeah, I do feel for them. Duvan's going to come and blow them out of the water after they've campaigned so hard all season. We've also got Punchestown to come, and again, we could see some superb racing there if Q-Card takes on Don Cossack again. It will be interesting to see Q-Card head to Don Cossack's playground this time.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's been a lot of debate about whether Q-Card would have won the Gold Cup. And
whether Don Cossack would have won the King George.
Exactly. The fact is, we'll never know. Yeah. So let's just stop and just wait for Punchestown and enjoy it. But you'd have to worry about Q-Card, his jumping. Before he fell at Cheltenham, he'd made a couple of other mistakes. And typically, the Irish fences are stiffer than the British ones. And Punchestown will take some jumping.
And everyone says, and we'd all agree, that this is probably the best we've ever seen Q-Card, but he is 10, and it's been a particularly hard season for a 10-year-old. To then go over to Ireland and take on Don Cossack again on the back end of the season he's had, are there any concerns there for you?
I think he's a different horse this season, isn't he? I mean, he just seems to take his racing extremely well, and seems to have endured a new lease of life. I mean, it's been a great training performance by Colin Tizard. I think he will run well, but he won't be quite good enough to beat Don Cossack.
Okay, looking forward to that race. Anyway, we'll move on to matters closer at hand, and we're looking ahead to Perth and Warwick on Thursday. Plenty of action, most of it over the obstacles, to be honest. Just one flat card domestically, so we're looking to the jumping action. And we begin with Perth, 3 o'clock. This is a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. 7 runners line up for this one, but most of them arriving in pretty decent nick.
It looks a good race. The first one to catch my eye was the Nigel Twist and Davis trained Flory Bay, who looks to be a real spring horse, winning 3 from 3 in March and April, including an easy success under a penalty at Newbury last time out. My slight concern is prior to Wednesday's racing, Twist and Davis had sent out 22 consecutive losers, so I'd want to see him have a winner or two on day one of the Perth Festival. And I think I'm going to side with One for Harry in this one, the Nicky Richards runner. I napped this one when a 15-2 winner at Wetherby in mid-January as he was returning from a short break. And he's got a great record when fresh, since qualified for handicaps, when he's been off the track for 5 weeks or longer over a trip of 2.5 miles. He's won 5 of his 7 starts and finished second in one of the others. So he's been off the track for 36 days, so he just about qualifies on the freshness factor. And I think, One for Harry can bounce back from a disappointment at Cheltenham last time out when he was pulled up, albeit when a 50-1 shot in the Coral Cup.
OK, One for Harry then. Yeah, as Andrew says, very consistent, has been in the front two in all of his last 6 races, bar 2 when he went off at fairly fancy prices in probably class that was a little bit out of his comfort zone. But we stay at Perth for their 4 o'clock, which is the next race on today's podcast. 2.5 mile handicap chase for us here. 10 runners to go out this time, including a representative for one WP Mullins.
Yes, tennis cap for Mr. Mullins. Won at Cork last time out. That was on soft stroke heavy going, and won't be inconvenienced by the quicker ground. Goes well at this time of year, and has won both completed starts in April previously. He's obviously interesting, as is Witness in Court for Donald McCain. He won this race 12 months ago and will appreciate the return to conventional fences after unseating over the Grand National fences on his last 2 starts. The only concern is that he's never won a chase of more than six runners. He's got to dominate. So if he's taken on for the lead and with nine rivals against him, he might just come up short. So I'm going to go with Sharp Rise. Lightly raced for a nine-year-old, back from a winter break to score over hurdles at Kelso last time out, and is always best in the spring and summer. Has won both completed chase starts and looks open to improvement over fences despite being a nine-year-old.
Okay, Sharp Rise then getting the vote for Andrew in the 4 o'clock at Perth. We go to Warwick now for a couple of races there. We begin with the 310, which is a handicap hurdle over 3 miles and a furlong. 10 runners down to contest this. And again, a good level of form being brought in by the majority of the field.
It looks a decent contest. The one I was particularly keen on is Grape Tree Flame of Peter Bowens. It was only fifth of six here last time out, but that came over an inadequate trip on unsuitably slow going. She's another one who looks to be a real spring horse with form figures of first, first and first when racing over 2 miles, six furlongs or further from March to May. Her latest win came over course and distance in cheek pieces, and the headgear missing last time out is back on for this race. So I'm expecting a big run from Grape Tree Flame.
Okay, Grape Tree Flame then for the Bowen team gets the choice of Andrew in the 310 at Warwick. The 410 at Warwick is the final race that we'll come to on today's podcast. The handicap chase here over 3 miles and five furlongs. 10 runners line up for this staying contest. What do you like?
This is particularly tricky. The first one to catch my eye was So Fine from the Hobbs Yard. This one jumped persistently out to his left at right-handed Ascot when a respectable sixth of 14 last time out, beaten by around 18 lengths in a much better race. And I had him down as one to bet the next time he ran on a left-handed track. He's doing that today, but the trouble is he's ridden patiently, and it really helps to be up with the gallop when you're running over fences at Warwick. So I'm going to go with one of the prominent races. Bio was quite interesting, but he's probably best at right-handed Huntingdon. So I'm going to go with Barton Gift, who made most of the running when scoring at Exeter over a similar marathon trip last time out, and has got some reasonable form at Warwick.
Okay, Barton Gift then for the Spearing Yard. Just give us a quick recap then of your four selections for the races that we've covered on Thursday, please.
Right, 3 o'clock at Perth, I'm going for one for Harry. And the 4 o'clock, I'm with Sharp Rise. Over at Warwick, the 3:10, Grape Tree Flame. And finally, in the 4:10 at Warwick, Barton Gift.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to the thoughts of Andrew Mount. Best of luck tomorrow, Andrew, and enjoy the action over the rest of the season.
Oh, thanks very much. One horse I must just mention before we go, a horse called You're Fired, who runs in the 3:20 at Haydock on Saturday. 0 from 3 on his seasonal debuts, always needs the run. 3 from 3 second time out.
Okay.
Ran a promising comeback at...
Is that running the Lincoln?
Ran the Lincoln, finished 10th. The Yard won the race a couple of years ago. So, look out for Your Fired this weekend.
Okay, there's a horse to follow then for Andrew. Thank you very much for that, Andrew, and best of luck.
Pleasure, thank you.
And remember to tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. on Thursday afternoon. We're at Perth over the obstacles along with Warwick. There's a flat card at Beverley, and then into the evening we're jumping at Exeter and Market Racing with an Irish card at Tipperary. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.